Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1079. This is your host, Danny, and also joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio, we have Pete, all the way from Switzerland.
Yo.
Okay, that's special effect right there, man.
What's up,
with that Barry voice, Barry White.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Everything good, man. How's over there, man? How's everything? How's the weather?
How's everything over there, it's man? It's overcast. Been playing with taking pictures the last few days, and it's cloudy. It's definitely getting close to winter time here in Switzerland. Yeah, it's getting a little overcast on a regular basis. Like it's now common. Like I haven't seen the sun out like fully in probably two or 3 weeks. It's been a lot of rain. Like I said, weather's down to like the low teens, if not single digits lately in Celsius. For freedom numbers, it's, you know, mid to high 40s, in the 40s range. But
that's good.
Still waiting for the family. Hopefully it'll be, I think, another month. I think it'll be another 4 to 6 weeks. And then fingers crossed they'll be here with us finally.
Yeah, hope everything goes well, man.
Yeah, man.
So shout out to your fam.
Yep.
All right. So head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. You also could find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and make sure to subscribe, follow us, share this to your friends and family. Spread the word about GTR. That will help us out big time. Also, if you'd like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you could find us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so first of all, I would like to say thank you to the whole kind of funny crew over there, Greg, Andy, Tim, Blessing, Mike, everybody. They invited me to be on three different podcasts during the whole week. They were celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, and that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. I highly recommend to check out the episodes either on YouTube or through their podcast. I had a lot of fun, dude. The first one, it was a panel about Latinx and games. That was a lot of fun to record. I was there with Elaine, Diana, the whole Latinx crew. Really, really cool. And also the second one was Kind of Funny Games Daily with Greg Miller. And the third one, which just came out yesterday with Mike at XCast. Make sure to download it. So let me know. Let me know your feedback about the whole thing. I had a blast recording it. So also shout out to 368. For those that don't know, I released an episode on Thursday about it. But we got together and worked on this project that I came up with it like randomly one day, just hanging out at the park. And I was like, man, I want to do something cool. I got the Xbox Series X early. How about if I invite one of our listeners that he's a New York first responder? I'm going to invite him as a surprise. I told him that it was going to be a GTR meetup. And I'm like, look, don't say anything to no one. You know, I hit him up on Discord. And he showed up and he got to play the system for 60 minutes. And we recorded the whole video. We posted it up on 368. It's doing really good. It's going around. A lot of people are talking about it. One thing I do want to mention is this came out. This was all 100% us. This was not no marketing thing. Like Microsoft never paid us for this. Like I just had to get permission from them to see if it was okay. Because we recorded that on a Monday. And we had to edit it for at least 48 hours. We had different versions, and that night we only slept for like 2 hours right before the video came out on Thursday. So after that, people also were saying, was that his footage that of him playing those games? And actually, yes, if you watch the video, there's a PC right next to the Xbox Series X. We were recording everything, the whole quick resume, loading time, him changing games, playing. We captured everything. That's 100% his games. And I downloaded a bunch of games. I told him, look, play whatever you want. Whatever's there, go for it. You know, if you wanted to go play online Destiny 2, whatever he wants. So it was a lot of fun. I sat down with Michael, and I highly recommend for you to listen to that episode. It's episode 1078. We spoke about the behind the scenes, how was it for him, his reaction, his impressions as a consumer, about the system and everything. And it was a lot of fun. So thank you, everybody, that's been sharing it. It means a lot to me. It was honestly one of my biggest projects that I worked on, man. So very excited. And I'm happy that, you know, this year has been rough for a lot of people. And, you know, seeing him smile like that, that made my year, man. You know, so yeah, just want to say that very quick. And anything else, Pete, before we go to the topics from you?
So I know at the end of the video, he says, wow, it's going to make me cry. Did he actually break tears? That's what the people want to know.
Yeah, he got really emotional and he held it. Like, he was like, you know, but yeah, he was not expecting none of that, man. Right. He thought it was going to be a meetup. You know, he even told me that he was practicing with his wife, like practicing doing interviews. He thought he was going to do like a round table with other members. So he made believe his wife was me. So he's like, hey, Danny, like, you know, he said that he even spiced it up like console worth conversation. That's just so you know. I was like, that's so funny. But it was cool. It was a lot of fun, man. And the thing is, a lot of people don't know, man, the first day that he started working at the hospital was 2 days after the city of New York got shut down. That was his first day, dude.
Wow.
You know, and I had no idea. You know, I found this out, everything, that day when we got together. You know, so. And also, shout out to Tony Polanco, man. He was there, you know, helping us out. And he was like, look, man, I just want to be there, see his reaction, man. So that was a lot of fun seeing him.
Well, you know, if the whole thing at geek.com doesn't work out for Tony, he's got a future as a hand model now.
Yes,
that little
yes.
Series, he's handing the controller over.
Yep. You know, a lot of people are saying like, yo, Tony's hand is very popular, man. It's going to be very popular out there, man. So nah, it was cool, man. And I want to say this, like he is a gamer. He has old consoles. I was not trying to convince him like, hey, you gotta go Xbox. I was more of like just giving him access. Look, I don't have a PlayStation 5. If I had a PlayStation 5, I would have done the same exact thing, man. Because this year, P, if you think about it, man, there hasn't been no consumer experience at all. This year, maybe only like influencers, press, you know, content creators, that's it. But an actual consumer, that's why I wanted to do that. Because I wanted him to get that experience. And, you know, I wanted to feel good about that, man. Just play the games and have fun. I even told him, man, hey, add me. We'll play some games once the console launches, man, you know. So, but it was cool. Just want to say that. So make sure to go to 368 on Twitter. It's there. The video, you can watch the whole thing. It's only like 2 minutes. So, and that's about it. So let's go with the first topic here, Pete. This is the conversation that we've been having for over a month now. So Phil Spencer was on Kotaku.com. Stephen Totilo. What's his name?
Totilo.
Totilo. I was going to say Toledo. He's related to Pete.
Fam!
Yeah, fam. So Phil Spencer says that during the interview that Xbox doesn't have to ship Bethesda games on other platforms because Stephen asked them, you know, how can they make that money back in return? Do they have to release, as a company releases these games in other platforms? And in the interview, Phil said, no, they don't need to do that, you know? And we've been saying this for a month, and people were like calling us crazy because we said this investment, $7.5 billion, was for Xbox Game Pass as a whole. Yes, console, PC, different devices. Now, the only thing I said, and also Paris mentioned this too, if PlayStation and Nintendo decides to accept to have, you know, Game Pass, S-Cloud to their consoles, then yeah, you could play that through PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and so on. But as of right now, all these games are going to be Xbox exclusive. The only ones that is not are the two that is coming out sometime next year. Is it next year or this year? Deathloop is one of them, and there's another one too. I can't remember, but that
Starfield.
Starfield is going to be an Xbox exclusive.
Right.
I've been saying that. That's 100% is going to happen. Also, the new Elder Scrolls 2 is going to be an exclusive. But yeah, I don't know why people thinking that that Xbox needs to do this to release it in every console to make that money back. I don't think so, man. I think this is like, and I mentioned this on S-Cast, it's like there's more subscribers on Netflix than Disney Plus. Disney Plus grabbed their IPs of the Marvel series that was on Netflix for a couple of years, and they have all Marvel now on Disney Plus. Now, if you want to watch any TV shows, any movies, streaming wise, it's only available on Disney Plus. Yes, Netflix has more subscribers, and Disney has been investing a lot of money on creating original content for the service. Do Disney needs to have this on different streaming services for them to make that money back? No. Short term, yes, it's a lot of money, right? But this is a long-term investment. This is not like, you know, they have to invest this everywhere. I mean, they have to put like all these shows everywhere to make that money back, man. I don't think so, man. So see it like that with Xbox. This is going to be a long-term thing, man, for the company, man. What's your thought, Pete?
Well, from you know, I'm always going to come here and try to bring a corporate business visual to it, right? Or a perspective mm-hmm. to it. So mm-hmm. when you think $7.5 billion from our standpoint, that's a massive amount of money to think about. When you're talking about a $1 trillion company, $7.5 billion, while still is a substantial amount, is not mm-hmm. really that much in the grand scheme of things. And the reason I say that is because of this. Think of the studios associated with this purchase or this acquisition of ZeniMax Media. Remember, it's not just Bethesda. It's ZeniMax Media. So we're talking yeah. Bethesda Softworks, Bethesda Game Studios, id, ZeniMax Online, Arcane, Machine Games, Tango, Alpha Dog, and Roundhouse. You're on top of the fact that they're increasing by 8 studios, you're talking all these employees, that's what it costs. Not just for those IPs or those studios, but for the operating income for those 2,300 employees that they're bringing on board, plus any future potential IPs that they had in the works that were already trademarked or earmarked for future release, right? So mm-hmm. on top of that, we're not looking at, okay, in 2022, they're going to make up the $7.5 billion. That's not how it works, right? Mm-hmm. But through the development of games, through the licensing of these games, whether it be to just their own platform or if they do, like everybody thinks that they're going to do with specific titles or certain titles, and they start to branch them off and allow PlayStation and or Nintendo or mobile, then those licensing deals start to fold that money back up. But then you also have to take into consideration, you've got Game Pass as an opportunity for that, as a vehicle for people to have an opportunity to start playing those games. And just all of that additional revenue, all of these things are layers of revenue income that come in and start to stack. And all of a sudden, that differential between zero and $7.5 billion starts to close. That gap starts to shrink. Slowly and surely. So are they expecting to return to zero, to a zero balance in 1 to 2 years? Highly unlikely. Are we looking at a long-term 5 to 7, maybe 10-year potential? Yes. And thanks to the chat. Thank you, Arctic. It was Ghostwire Tokyo. That was the other title.
Thanks a lot.
But yeah, I mean, and I think you also have to take the whole conversation in general as a whole, you know, as you know, the whole context of what Phil Spencer was talking about when he made that mention of, you know, because mm-hmm. it kind of became a topic of conversation on Twitter that day that, oh, you know, they're you know, how are they going to recoup the money? You got to think about it. I mean, this is a $1 trillion software company. They do this all day long. Look at what they did with Office, right? In order to get away from the 30% haircut tax that Apple was going to try to charge them, what did they do? They put Office for free, not just to put it in everybody's hands, but to push the competition out, right? Mm-hmm. So this is Microsoft getting the opportunity to flex and say, okay, look, we are a, you know, a triple A publishing house. We are the real deal. We're going from, you know, was it 15 to 23 studios now. You got to give them their shot. You got to give them their props. And I mean, I think what titles that they actually end up putting exclusively for Microsoft and what titles they end up putting for multi-plat, I think it's still fluid, you know? Yes, mm-hmm. It makes sense on certain titles to keep that close to the Microsoft vest and say this is an Xbox exclusive, but I think a lot of things are going to be dependent on what happens with the sales of Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S. I think,
and also Game Pass too.
Hey man, can you pretend that this is XCast and you don't interrupt your co-host? Thank you.
I'm back, baby. I'm back. I'm back.
Anyways, no, but I mean, you really have to take that into consideration. It's a fluid thing. I don't know or think Microsoft has a full spreadsheet that says, okay, these titles are going to go multi-plat. These titles are going to go, you know, exclusive to the thing. I think a lot of that is going to be fluid, dependent on how hardware sales go over the next 2 to 3 years. Because remember, a lot of these new titles and IPs that they're actually doing won't see the light of day for the next year or two. So I think right now, I think the decision is fluid, but I think as hardware sales start to solidify and they start to see the landscape of how much they've actually sold, a lot of that will start to firm up and you'll start to see them say, okay, all right, we've got, you know, 9 IPs, you know, 7 of them are going to go exclusive. 2 of them will keep multi-plot.
I think those smaller games, right, Pete, you think that's probably going to be exclusive? That's what you think? A lot of people think that way, I think. And then like those major games that's been another, that's been successful in other platforms, that's the one that's going to be multi-plat.
Well, that's the thing.
That's what people are saying.
Yeah. Everybody says, okay, well, you know, let's think of the big, big ones when you think of Bethesda. Doom, Elder Scrolls, mm-hmm. You think, Fallout.
Fallout, yep.
Those are titles that are associated with multi-platform that I could play, whether I'm on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, it doesn't matter. I could play for the most part, right? I know there's some titles that you can't play on those things. Or they've got offshoots of titles that you can play on mobile. And that's another instance of where it's an opportunity for recouping recouping a lot of this money is that now through Game Pass, you're able to tap into that massive number of you know, screens. Just I can't remember where I did the math. I think it might have even been on Discord where the number of consoles sold combined between Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo was still in one calendar year was still smaller than one calendar year of the number of total consoles sold between Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch, I think GameCube might have been included, throughout the span of that generation, didn't even come close to 1 year sold of mobile devices. Now think of that. Think of that. Okay? Think of that expanse of reach when you're talking about why Game Pass is such an important thing for Microsoft themselves, is that now they're able to have the entire mobile community have access to that plethora of titles. Do you really think that opportunity for cash flow didn't go past their eyes? You really think Microsoft didn't think about that as an opportunity? Mm-hmm. Put that into perspective. Yeah. I think it's something like 230 million. I think, and I'm going off the top of my head because I don't remember. This is like going back like 3 or 4 weeks now. But I think it was like 230 to 240 million consoles between Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch combined throughout that generation. Didn't even amass to one single year of mobile devices. Now take that over the year of take that number and you spread it out, or you multiply it by the number of years in this generation. So what, 4 years, 5 years? Mm-hmm. It's a billion devices you're talking about from a mobile platform versus 230 to 250 for you know, for this for last generation, you know, game consoles. It's like 750 million devices that you now have access to, or you have an opportunity to start to tap into for this next generation moving forward. So I think is going to be major key in how Microsoft actually starts to recoup some of that 7.5.
Yeah, and not only that, Pete, like we also have to talk about like once Microsoft start adding Game Pass to other devices like smart TVs, maybe refrigerators, like who knows what.
Hey, man, in the future. You can install games on the virtual memory of a GPU. We saw that happen last week. I forgot. Yeah. I think they installed Crysis on a 3090 or 3080 directly onto the memory, and you could play it on the thing. So it is possible.
Yeah, it is possible. No, I just want to say that because, look, people are always bringing up Microsoft, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the same people that are saying that Microsoft need to have these games in other platforms, would you be saying the same exact thing if it was Google Stadia, if it was Amazon, if it was PlayStation, Nintendo? Would you be saying the same exact thing? Think about that. Or are you just saying this because it's just Microsoft? You know, like, let's say it was PlayStation that would have done this, Pete. I would like, yeah, that's going to be exclusive for PlayStation. There's no way those games are going to come up for Xbox. No way. But it's Xbox, and now everybody's like, no, they have to put in other devices and other platforms in order to make that money in return. I'm like, it just doesn't make no sense, man.
Didn't Insomniac do that anyways when they were acquired by Sony?
Exactly.
Why is it any different? Just because they have a lot less, actually, they've got a lot less multi-platform titles as a result, because mm-hmm. this happened years ago. And, you know, it allowed them to bring in titles like Infamous, et cetera. But I agree with you in that regards. I don't think it's any different. I think it is people taking a comment out of context and spinning it. And we've seen that countless times. You know, you take a snippet just to create buzz, but you don't actually let people read everything that prefaces it or comes up after it. It's just that one little snippet that'll make it go viral. So
yeah, exactly. Look, man, it's a business. People need to understand that, man. Like remember the conversation we had, P, about Spider-Man being in the Avengers game that was only for PlayStation? Mm-hmm. It's part of the business. That was an exclusive. We're not gonna see that in other consoles. And that's how it is. So yeah, people get mad. It's not available, you know, your favorite platform, but that's how it is, man. You know, so get used to that. I just want to mention that very quick. Anything else about that, Pete? We move on or what?
Let's go to the next one.
All right. PlayStation 5 UI, man. Your thoughts, because I got to see this and I think it looks very, very clean. I like it. I like it a lot.
I don't see why it's such a big deal that your dashboard runs at 1080p versus 4K. I don't, and maybe I am in the minority here because I'm a PC only player, and but it's a launcher that launches your game. It's not something that is so immersive that you spend hours on. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at my launcher! Look at my back. No, nobody does that. You press play or you press power on your controller or on the console. It turns on. You can't wait for it to come up, and as soon as it does, the first thing you do is you go scrolling to the game that you want to play, and you press A or X. You don't sit there. Oh, look, it's so beautiful in 4K, and oh no, it's not. No, who cares? What's the big deal? Is the news cycle that bad right now that we have to worry about resolution on the effing dashboard?
Look, man, I. First of all, that was pretty funny. You know, I have the Series X, and honestly, I haven't really been using much the dashboard. I've just been playing games. That to me is more important. Is it smooth? Can I launch games? Can I do quick resume? Can I? Does it load fast? That to me is more important than just like, hey, the dashboard. Like I don't look at that at all. But I do have to say that the PlayStation 5 UI looks nice. It looks clean.
I'm not going to dispute that. I won't dispute that. It looks nice, But I think that differs from what Microsoft is doing with what they're trying. And if I'm coming across as a Microsoft apologist right now, check yourself, because I'm a dedicated PC gamer. I don't own a console. So
that is a Microsoft. Okay? You're Windows, Pete. That's still Microsoft.
But I'm not an... regardless, okay? But if you think about it, it's a continuity thing. Okay, they're trying to make sure that if bringing back little Johnny, if little Johnny's playing on his Xbox One and mommy gets to get him an Xbox Series X, that experience looks exactly the same. It's a seamless continuity experience, whether you're on one or the other. So I don't think it makes that big of a difference. I just don't understand. And I know John Linneman from Digital Foundry made a comment. And I think that is what may have like kind of spurred on the negativity about it. But he said, the big problem for me more than anything with the Xbox dashboard is the low resolution. I was disappointed with Xbox One X only offering 1080p UI rendering when PS4 Pro did native 4K. But for 1080p UI to continue on Series X, that's really not acceptable to me. Again. Do you really spend that much time? And I'm not directing this towards John or anybody. I'm just in general. Do you really spend that much time gazing into your screen over the dashboard? Does it really make a difference? Does it really impact your appreciation or your overall gaming experience because the dashboard didn't hit a certain resolution?
It's like this, Pete. You use PC. You play games through there, right? Do you look at the Steam? Do you look at the Steam store, how beautiful it looks?
Like, no, I think it's horrendous, just like the Microsoft store. I think the Microsoft store is horrible. I spend more time on actually I use none of those, preferably, unless I have to buy something. I spend everything on GOG Galaxy from CD Projekt. Okay. It's fantastic.
So, is that software or that's a website?
It's a launcher. It's a
launcher. Okay.
It's just a strict launcher that I put on that actually interfaces with all of my other launchers. So whether it's Uplay or Steam or Microsoft or Epic, Battle.net, it's a one place. And we've talked about this in the past, Paris and I have, it's a one-stop shop that you open it and you launch everything from there. I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to open 7 different launchers to find the game that I'm trying to play. It's all there. And it keeps all of my stats. It keeps all of my inventories. I can just go to one place, click and go. But again, I don't worry that, the resolution, this is, my resolution for my GOG dashboard is lower than, it's a place for me to go and click, find the game that I want to play. So gaming Twitter just blowing something out of proportion, and it's ridiculous. It really is. And I even said it on Twitter myself. I was like, I think if you're sitting there complaining about that, you're an idiot.
Because it's ridiculous. Like I personally don't look at that at all. I just want to play games.
Yeah. The exact quote was, if you are arguing about resolution of the dashboard, a mechanism to launch the game, you're an idiot. And I stand by that. I stand by that 150%.
P is like, he's not having it anymore. He's done. Done with the nonsense.
That's it. I've taken over the show. I'm the captain.
He's the captain now. It's all good. All right, so Pete, we got to talk about this, man. So I have this game. I downloaded for the Series X, but as of right now, it's not officially compatible. Because remember, this is like a really early build that I have of the Series X. So I have to wait until closer to launch, then I could maybe start playing it again. So Star Wars Squadron, I know you have that for the PC. Yes. Tell us how it is, story, where it takes place, and we'll go from there, man.
Now, shout out to EA first and foremost. Shout out to EA and the Game Changers program for providing a code for us to play. It's developed by Motive Studios, which is, that's the one that's up in Canada, right? If I'm not mistaken, that's the one that Jade Raymond was previously head of.
Let's say yes, but keep on.
Okay. Okay. So it came out early October. It's available for PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Like you said, Xbox Series X will eventually get it. But it's set after Return of the Jedi, and it's really cool. If you like flying games, it's something that you'll appreciate. I actually play it with my controller. It actually justifies me having purchased this controller about 3 months ago.
No keyboard? No mouse and keyboard? Does it work?
There is mouse and keyboard support, but I actually fly. I for me personally, I think it's easier to do with the controller. But it's pretty cool because you get to play both sides of the story. You play the Republic's Vanguard Squadron, and as well as the Galactic Empire's Titan Squadron. And it goes through the storyline of this thing called Project Starhawk, which is the Republic's way of trying to get back at the Galactic Empire. And it's pretty cool. It's being able to pick and choose your fighter, so you can go between the A-Wing, the X-Wing, and some of the other thing, or the Y-Wing as well, the Y-Wing bomber. And then you can flip back. And then when you're playing on the Empire side, you're able to play whether you're in a TIE fighter, TIE squad, the TIE bomber. And I've been enjoying it. It's not something that I would say is like going to be my game of the year, but I think it has enough qualities in it that it's a good opportunity to get away from the regular. And I'm talking from a single player perspective at this point, right? Because there is a multiplayer component. The single player, the story is okay. A lot of, it follows a lot of the tropes of games of go here, go do this, go do this, go do that, come back, do, escort the ship coming back. But it's simple enough that you can pick up. The controls aren't extremely difficult to remember, or because I went like 3 days without playing it, and then I was able to jump right back in, and I was like, okay, I know B does my chaff. So if I'm getting chased by like a rocket or something's locked onto me, I can use that. I would have loved to have an opportunity to have like a HOTAS system so I can, do like the flight stick. And I think that would make things a lot more interesting. I know that there's a VR component for this, that if you play it in VR, it's a lot of fun. And it actually made me contemplate it. And I know the wife is watching right now, but I did not buy it. So
watch your back, Pete. Watch your back.
But I have seen some Twitch streams of people playing it with the HOTAS system, the joystick. And I've also watched people playing it with in VR, and it is a really, really cool component. Going into the multiplayer, it's pretty cool. You play 5-on-5 and you basically, it's almost like a ticket system, but it's not bad. It's not my personal cup of tea from a multiplayer perspective. I like, boots on the ground, point click shoot. And obviously being 3 weeks after 2-3 weeks after launch, there's a lot of people that play this game a lot more than I do. There is a community for it. And there are people who are really, really, really good. I'm not one of them. But I've had a lot of fun with it. I've got maybe 10 hours into it. I'd say 80% of that has been in the campaign.
Okay. Which is not bad. I think that's a good thing.
No, it's not. And again, like, and you can finish a mission and then go back. And if you didn't get all of the medals, you can go back and continue it again, and try to improve your score. But I like it. I've had a good enough time with it where, in my off time, I'll play it because it's something I can play for an hour and then put down. It's not something that's going to take up my time for eight, as I would normally go with like PUBG or Escape from Tarkov or whatever, but it's something that I can quickly pick up and play, and it's enjoyable. So if you like flying games, if you like Star Wars, I think you'll enjoy it. There's no, you don't play as a platforming perspective or a hack and slash. It's a strictly, flight based game, which, go figure. You've got Flight Simulator came out recently. Star Wars Squadrons obviously now has come out. So if you like, first person space combat games, I think you'll enjoy it.
Cool. So wait, where this takes place from the timeline?
It's after Return of the Jedi.
After Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So is this from the last game from Respawn? Is during that time too? I'm trying to remember if that takes place around after Return of the Jedi. I think it's in between both. I don't know. I can't remember. It's been a while. Anyways.
Now you're going to make me look it up. Damn it.
That's all good. It's all good. No, that's cool, man. Really cool to hear.
No. Fallen Order takes place 5 years after Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. So no.
Revenge of the Sith. Okay.
This takes place after the complete canon of Star Wars.
Okay. I see now. Okay. I get it. There you go.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're going to go now very quick into fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
There we go. All right, so we have an email here from Justin. We're going to strictly read emails here. So, Pete, look for your email next. All right. So, this is from Justin. Hey, guys. Great show, listen every week. I was wondering if the next generation machines right around the corner, was there any games that missed the last gen that you would like to see make a return? He said, personally, I would like to see Mortar Storm, Death Space, and Stuntman. Keep up the good work. This is from Justin. All the way from the UK. Justin, thanks for the email. For me, Death Space, man, I would love to see that game to come back. Because I had a blast playing part 1 and 2. 3, not so much when it came out during the 360 era and PlayStation 3 era around there. Also, I would love to see, and I've been saying this for a while too, Jet Set Radio. I'm a huge fan of those games too, man. So what about you, P? Are there any games that you would like to see a return from you?
Shout out to Mandy. I know you mentioned Dead Space, so shout out to former GTR member Lady Luck, Mandy. She she finally finished Dead Space. Like you know,
finally it took finally. Years,
10 years. Oh my god, she finally did it.
Yes,
but you know
that's awesome.
If you know me and you know my history with being at here at GTR, on one of my first assignment. With you, it was the first thing I said. I messaged you back and I was like, anything that comes up for Dead Space, I want it. I'm calling dibs. And you said, not a problem. So absolutely, I would love to see Dead Space come up. Mirror's Edge, I think would be a cool title to see in this day. I know it's not that far removed because we did have Mirror's Edge 2 come out a short while ago.
Huge flop. Oh my god.
Unfortunately. I think that was a game that may have been too new, like too ahead of its time. I think a VR version of Mirror's Edge might be cool. I think that would be amazing to watch YouTube fail videos for, of seeing people like running into walls because they've got the VR system on their head, they can't see where they're going and thinking they're actually running and jumping. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shooter games of all time, SOCOM, I think would be fantastic as a title that would be brought back. Obviously, that would be a Sony thing, right?
Yeah. It'd be huge if they announced that game for PlayStation 5.
Absolutely. I would love to see them bring a game like that back. Altered Beast, I think, had a phenomenal story from back in the day. I would love to see them reboot that. And then a game that I loved as a young gamer, Earthworm Jim.
Ooh, well, it is coming back.
I know.
For the new Intellivision system.
I know. It doesn't feel like it's going to be the same.
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm excited it's coming back. So, but that's going to be exclusive only for Intellivision, the new system. Amico. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Is there any games? I'm trying to think, man. SOCOM is a good one, Pete. That's a really, really good one. Matt, you know which one I think they should do a sequel? I think it was awesome too when it came out for the original Xbox. Jade Empire.
Which one?
Jade Empire.
I remember the title. I do not remember playing it.
Oh, that game is freaking good, man. It's from BioWare.
Hmm. Actually,
exclusive.
Racing game that I would love to see them bring back, Tokyo Extreme Racer. Zero.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is one of my favorite all-time racing games. I loved that one because that just it played with my emotions, man. Just always trying to get up and just, you know, come up, you flash the lights, and next thing you know, you're in a race, and then you got so good. Mm-hmm. KOTOR. Yeah. I don't know, but like I don't want them to bring back KOTOR if they can't bring me back the storyline along with it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it has to be a good story.
I don't want to, don't give me a reboot. I don't want to see it again. It's kind of like the whole was a Mass Effect Ultimate. I don't care about that. I don't want to play a game again that I played already. Give me something new. Add to the story. Add to it, and then make it and make it, you know, memorable. And I would love it. So yeah, I'd love to see something along the KOTOR environment, you know, the KOTOR universe. That'd be great.
Yeah, you know what? Too Left 4 Dead, bring it back. That game was phenomenal when it came out back then for the 360 and PlayStation 3. It was a really good game. I know it's out for PC too, but you didn't like that game? I love Left 4 Dead, man.
That was the one they only made two of them, right? They never made a third.
Yeah. They only make two.
That's because Valve doesn't make anything in threes. They only make twos. No,
twos, and they move on. They move on with their life, you know? That was really good, too. I'm thinking another game from back in the days. Bionic Commando for Capcom.
Bionic Commando. Okay.
Yeah, that was really good. Splinter Cell. I mean, Ubisoft is always teasing for little stupid little things of promoting Splinter Cell.
I think they're able to support individual studios just on the speculation of a new Splinter Cell. All you got to do is just
with the green lights. Yeah, that's it. And green.
Just money starts flowing.
Yep, that's it. That's it. All right, that was a good one, man. You want to read another email before we wrap it up? You can pick whatever you want. I'll edit this out.
I'll pick. Okay. And I don't know if we've done this one before, but because it's a month old, actually. Today it's a month old. IGTR, this is from Tin Hu. Longtime listener, first time emailer. I really like the Curious Positivity with the latest PlayStation event recap. Remember, this is a month old. Even when there was news of Miles Morales and Horizon Forbidden West being cross-generation games, you guys focused on the good for the wider player base. It was refreshing to hear as the social was flooded with sentiments of betrayal, lies, hypocrisy, holding the game back experiences. Anyway, on to the question. With the great reception of the Series S, do you picture Sony releasing a Series S-like budget console, PS5 Mini, for example, in a few years? This would serve to greatly expand their audience for the prime moneymaker software sales. Looking forward to the following generation, would like to see a high and low approach by both Sony and Microsoft. Thanks for the many years of content, Tin. Hmm. I think obviously we know Microsoft is going that route. From Sony, I don't think it makes sense to do that, and here's why. And I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when they mentioned their prices. Value. I think Sony's digital edition PlayStation 5 is the actual value box. And when I say value, I don't always say that. I don't always prescribe to the value means lower budget or lower cost, right? Mm-hmm. I think it gives you more for just a slightly increased in price, right? Yeah, fine. You pay $100 premium, but you're getting full 4K, full power. The only difference is you don't have a disc. That's the only difference. That's the only fundamental difference between the two. You know, you still have to buy a new furniture anyways, because that thing is the size of like the smart car. But I don't think Sony will do that. But then again, who am I? I'm just an IT guy in Switzerland, right?
So exactly. I was about to say that.
You know what will happen is tomorrow this episode will drop and they'll announce they're coming up with a mini or a budget type, you know, the PlayStation 4 Lite or something like that.
And then P's like, God damn it, we just recorded this yesterday.
Danny, go back, edit the drop. I don't think it makes sense for them to do that, because I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to leverage them being on that, okay, look, yeah, fine, we're giving you the digital edition, but the power, you're not gonna get a cheaper, you know, a cheapened version of the PlayStation for lower money. I think they're looking to ensure that their experience is synonymous or it's You know, your experience is the exact same or cohesive mm-hmm. across platforms within this generation. So they don't care. I don't think they want to do the okay, well, we're going to give you the good, better, best version of the PlayStation 5. They're going to give you the best, period, and it's your option whether you want to go physical or digital.
Okay, so for me, very quick, I think they might, if it's working well for, I mean, it's working for Nintendo, if this thing is a huge success for Xbox, the Series S, I think Sony's going to do something, but it's not going to be now, maybe like in 3-4 years. They probably could do that. That's what I think. If it's a flop, then they'll keep it as is. Maybe have like a slim version or something like that, but that's about it. That's what I think. So, all right, so here's my last email. And Pete, find one more email and then we're done. And this email I'm about to read is for you, Pete, because Pirate's not here. So he's like, this is from Trevor. Hey, GTR crew, my name is Trevor, and this question is for Paris and Pete. I've committed to getting a PlayStation 5 to play with friends and family when the console finally launches. I'm not a tech savvy, but from what I've seen so far, 4K monitors with a refresh rate of 100 or higher are crazy expensive. Although this monitor isn't 4K, I've settled on buying the Samsung G7 Odyssey. I haven't swiped my credit card yet, but he would like to know if you have any recommendations, Pete, for monitors, man, that aren't 4K.
That are or are not
4K? Are not, that are not. There are not 4K. And see, please stay quiet there.
Well, I really got to think about it because I got to think about it, right? Like there's so many devices that could or couldn't be. Shit. Mm-hmm. If, I don't know. If you're going to go 1440K then, like what I do, mm-hmm. I mean, and my monitor is, say, 4 to 5 years old. It's the Dell S2716 DGR. 1 millisecond response, VSync, 144 hertz, 1440p. When I bought it 4 or 5 years ago, I think I bought them for $600 a piece.
Okay. And you have three.
And no, I've got two. I only have two monitors. Okay, two monitors. You should know this. You liked my photo yesterday.
I know. I thought it was three. I'm thinking about it right now. The pictures. I thought it was three. I just thought about it right now. All right.
Yeah. But those are TN panels. Most people these days would prefer to go something a little bit better. So they'd want to go IPS. And also depends on the size you're going to go. Most people would say between 27 to 24 inches. I'd say the ViewSonic is really good. ViewSonic, it's an Elite XG270 or something like that. IPS monitor, 27 inch, 165 hertz, G-Sync. I think it's 3 milliseconds. Again, mine, there's a smaller version of the 24617 or 24, yeah, 2417 Dell, which is just as good. 24 inch, 165 hertz, G-Sync. I think it's 1 millisecond response on this one. It also has built-in USB 3.0. So if you wanted to use that and then connect that to your Xbox, you might have some good data transfer rates on there. If you don't care about G-Sync or FreeSync, you can go with the Asus TUF. They've got a pretty good one as well. If you're looking for an ultra wide LG, LG has a really good 1440 it's 3440 by 1440. So it's basically they stuck another monitor onto the left of it. So it's literally, I mean, you figure like shoulder width for me is about 27 inches with a little bit of expanse. So thinking 34 inches, you're thinking you're going to be like a little bit wider. So it's kind of like when you go fishing, and you say you got a big fish. But it's 29.9 aspect, 3440 by 1440, 160 hertz, IPS, and it's got FreeSync on there. So I think those on top are probably going to be your best bets.
So a quick question before we go to the last one, the last email, where's like the best website if they want to go like for if someone wants to buy one, cheap price, all that discounts.
Amazon has been really, really good. I would also say maybe check out PCPartPicker.com. I know we've talked about that in the past, whether it's here or on our Discord server. but that's a really good opportunity. Like the, like you can go through there and pick a monitor and it'll tell you where the best price is or where the, you know, the best place to buy it.
Oh, cool. All right, Pete. So let's read the last email and then we can wrap this up.
Okay. You know what? I'll answer this one. Omar Macias. All right. So what's up, Gamertag crew? This is Omar from Dallas. My question is this. Do you think QuakeCon will be different now that Microsoft owns Bethesda? I've attended almost all of them here in the Dallas area, except this year's was canceled due to COVID. It's mostly been geared towards PC gamers, but I'm hoping it will now become more console gaming focused.
And that's it. Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were going to read the last part, but okay. You know what? Like, if you think about it, there's also a Microsoft event that they always have with Minecraft. Ever since they acquired the studio, Microsoft took over the conference, the event that they have for Minecraft, and do it all the time, every year. And I think this one, they had it virtually a couple of weeks ago, or sometime last month. I can't remember exactly. But I think Bethesda is still going to be handling that, but also now backed by Microsoft overall. And yes, they are going to focus PC and also now consoles, because it's, you know, and maybe also try to promote more Game Pass in there too. So you should add mobile in there. So I think that's what's going to happen, man. I think QuakeCon is still going to happen. You agree, Pete?
I think QuakeCon will continue to happen. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't throw mobile in there considering the debacle that happened last year.
No, I'm talking about from streaming. I'm talking about from like S Cloud, not mobile apps.
Right. I'm
talking about like streaming, Game Pass.
So they did do a QuakeCon at home back in August. Mm-hmm. So it obviously it's not the same as going to your own, going to your own LAN event. And that's one of the cool things about QuakeCon is that it brings that old school feel of a LAN event because everybody sits there, brings their own computers. And they've got some crazy elaborate setups. Like it's pretty crazy. It's kind of like the boat show. It's like kind of like the boat show for us. And, you know, well, I say for us in Miami, and you and I are not even in Miami anymore.
I know. 305.
But
Kendall, what's up?
Would I expect to see them do it again? I think it's going to be a very fluid thing. I think they've shown that you can do events and not have to have that person to person interaction. I think post-COVID, that landscape changes dramatically, especially with a thing like whether it's E3 or Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show or QuakeCon, where everybody's in such close proximity to each other. How do you do that is the bigger question, while maintaining the health and safety of the participants, not just the employees, right, but the participants as well. And I think that's until there's I hate to make this turn into a show about the sea, but until that gets fixed or addressed in a larger scale, and Danny's camera just died, I don't know. Danny's internet went down. All right. See, I didn't even have to boot him. The captain lives. So, yeah. So to answer your question, Omar, I wish it was me that booted him on purpose. I didn't even get the luxury. I didn't even get the joy of kicking him out. So to answer your question, Omar, if there is going to be one, there might not be one for a while. I think these recent digital events have shown that they can get their message across in the way that they want to do. They get the message out the way that they want to get it out without any, you know, without any fuss. So that's going to be it. Okay. And Danny just messaged, internet went down, I can't connect. So rest in pepperoni for Danny and his internet. So I guess that's it for the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, even though Danny's internet is potato. So if you want to check out more episodes of Gamertag Radio, obviously come to gamertagradio.com, check us out on all podcast services, or even go to Audio Boom and give us a look up. And, Danny's probably going to delete all of this and put the bumper at the end. So thanks everyone for watching. This has been episode 1079 of Gamertag Radio. Peace out.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.